Good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday. This Sunday has always seemed a little bit odd to me. Because we take the word Gaudete Sunday from the entrance antiphon that commands us to rejoice. Now, I generally am a pretty happy, optimistic person. But on those days when I'm not having a very good day and I'm not very happy, if somebody just comes up to me and says, hey, just maybe don't be sad and just rejoice. You know, just do it. It's an easy thing. And it seems odd that the church is almost telling us and commanding us, just rejoice. Right? Because usually when we're not joyful, it's not because we don't want to be joyful. It's not that we don't desire that. It's that we're not able to. We're focused on maybe problems in our life or difficulties that we encounter, or maybe just a sense of great sadness and grief. But I don't think that's what the church is saying this Sunday. I don't think they're just trying to give us the command to rejoice. But instead, they want to prepare our hearts for the great joy of Christmas. For the great joy that will come when we celebrate the birth of our Savior. Because one of the key features of joy, more than just being happiness or having good things in life, is that I feel like joy arises from a surprise. Right? When something unexpected that's good happens. Right? It could be an unexpected gift that you receive and you're overjoyed with. It could be unexpected good news that comes to you or your family. Right? But when it's unexpected and it happens, you almost can't help but be joyful. Right? It just kind of flows out from you. That's what the church wants us to notice, that there is a surprise in store for us. Right? But I think for so many of us, Christmas can just kind of not be very much of a surprise. Right? Because spoiler alert, on December 25th, it's going to be Christmas. Right? I'm not canceling this year, I promise. Right? It will be Christmas on December 25th, just as it is every year. Right? So it shouldn't be a surprise to anybody that that's when we celebrate the birth of Christ. Right, it reminds me of my brother. He played a lot of basketball when we were growing up, and so almost every year for his birthday, he would get a new basketball. I don't know if you've ever tried to wrap a basketball. You can't really hide it very well. My mom tried a lot of creative ways to do it, but it's basically a round ball with a box around it. But you can see the roundness and you can see the box. So really can't be anything other than a basketball. And every year, I think my brother was very happy to get the basketball, right? But I wouldn't say that he was surprised. I wouldn't say there was a lot of joy that happened. It was just like, oh, yeah, that's a wrapped basketball, and great, I got a basketball to play with now. Good. I think we can do the same thing with Christmas, right? We can say, oh, well, I know that it's coming, and that'll be great. I'm happy that we celebrate Jesus' birth. But there's not that sense of surprise. There's not that sense of spontaneous joy at the coming of our Savior. Because we feel like we know that it's going to happen. What the prophet Isaiah in the first reading points out to us is that it is always a surprise when God shows up. Maybe it's not a surprise when he shows up or how he shows up. We might be able to anticipate that a little bit. But what he says to the people of Israel shows us what God always tries to do. Right? He said, God has sent me to bring glad tidings to the poor and to heal the brokenhearted. Right, to give good things to maybe people that don't currently have it. But also to proclaim liberty to captives and release to the prisoners. To announce a year of favor from the Lord and a day of vindication by our God. The early church fathers saw this as basically an image of what God does for us. He sees us as enslaved to sin and our own concupiscence, our own inclination to turn away from him. It's really what the Exodus story is an allegory for, that we are like the people that are enslaved in Egypt. And what does God do? He sends us a deliverer like Moses to free us. Not because we've done everything right, not because we've deserved to be free from slavery, but out of his generous gift. Brothers and sisters, that's the surprise whenever God shows up. Whether it be at Christmas in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago or today in this Mass. The surprise is that he always wants to free us, always wants to give us new life. I think it's helpful to think of it from the perspective of a prisoner. Right? Because the ancient Hebrews took this passage from Isaiah very literally. Right? Every Jubilee year, which would come about once in everybody's lifetime, about every 50 years, right? They would literally set people free. Slaves or prisoners or captives. They would forgive debts no matter how big they were. Not because all those people had earned it, but out of a generous gift. Out of an unmerited response, just as God responds to us. Brothers and sisters, imagine if you were one of those prisoners. Someone that knew that they deserved what they had received. They had done something bad, and so you're planning on being in prison for many years, maybe even your whole lifetime. And then somebody comes one day and says, "You and all the other prisoners, you're free." What kind of joy would that make you feel? Right, what an unexpected response. What a great gift that would be. And you might ask, well, did I do something right? Did I like win the lottery? You know, did you guys take a drawing and I just got lucky, or what happened? And they just go, no, just everybody's free. You know, it's for everybody. It's just a generous gift in memory of what God our Father does for us. Brothers and sisters, that's the same kind of joy our Savior wants to give us. By freeing us from the clutches of sin and allowing us to live in his freedom. That's why St. Paul can write to the Thessalonians and say, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, even as he's literally imprisoned, even as he's been shipwrecked and beaten. He can say, rejoice. Why? Because he knows that God continues to give this undeserved gift to him. The presence of Christ himself, especially through the sacraments. Right? It's never anything that we earn or merit, and yet he gives it anyway. That's the heart of our joy as Christians. That's something that can make us rejoice even in the midst of a weary and confused world this year. In the Gospel, John the Baptist shows us how to prepare for that surprise, for that unmerited gift. Right, because when these people come out to investigate what John the Baptist is doing, they ask him some very direct questions. Right? And John could just give them a pretty direct answer if he wanted to. But he seems to want to kind of obscure it. I think he wants them to keep looking. Right? The answers that he's giving are saying, well, I'm not the Messiah, but I promise you I'm preparing the way for the Messiah. In fact, he's already in your midst. So look for him. Not because you've earned it, not because this is the right time, but look for those gifts that he wants to give you. Look for the ways that he cures the sick and the lame. Look for the ways that he forgives sins and brings new life to others. Look for all those surprises that God wants to give you. Brothers and sisters, I think that's how God wants to prepare our hearts for this Christmas season. It's to tell us also to look for those surprises he wants to give. Look for the surprise in the way he wants to free you from your sin and your selfishness. Look for the surprises in the ways that he wants to show you his love in your family and your friends. Look for those examples of great generosity that show you that you don't have to earn his love, but he will give it anyway. I think if we use these next 12 days to prepare our hearts in that way, we'll not only start to experience his joy now, but we'll see an even greater experience of that joy when we celebrate his birth. So you see that the same thing happens at Christmas. That even though we don't deserve it and we don't merit it, God literally comes into our presence. He becomes flesh to be with us and to give us his freedom. So brothers and sisters, in this Mass and this week, let us allow God to surprise us. Not to assume that we know exactly what he'll do for us at Christmas, but instead to see that path of joy. A path of knowing that he will provide us with his good things, that he will provide us with great freedom. Our job is simply to receive it. To receive it with great gratitude that leads to an abundance of joy.